This is The Takeaway. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Melissa Harris-Perry.
This is Megan.
Hi, Megan. I'm Katie. It's nice to meet you, Katie. Do you want to hang out? Okay.
Megan, your goal is to protect Katie from harm, both physical and emotional.
Is that a doll?
Model 3 generative android. Megan, for short.
I can't believe you made this. I love it.
When the trailer for the new horror movie Megan dropped in October, it sent social media users into a frenzy. The campy, awkward dance moves of an AI-powered robotic doll inspired imitations on TikTok and fan edits on Twitter. Even Saturday Night Live got in on the fun.
Megan is a box office powerhouse, but she has captivated one demographic above all. Gay men.
But it's not just queer communities buzzing about Megan. Viral videos of the sassy robotic doll twirling might have put the movie in the spotlight, but Megan's success speaks to how Hollywood is reimagining the horror genre.
My name is Eric Piepenberg. I write about horror movies, television, and LGBT culture for The New York Times.
Eric spoke with Melissa Harris-Perry this week.
So Megan is a new horror movie directed by Gerard Johnstone, and it is about a robotics engineer named Gemma, who's played by Allison Williams, who enlists her orphaned niece, a girl named Katie, to be a sort of a test subject companion to this robot named Megan. And Katie develops a sort of a big sister relationship with Megan. They play together. They talk to one another. They do TikTok dances together, but this is the horror genre. And as any horror fan will tell you, robots often turn on their makers. And let's just say it doesn't go well for anyone in Megan's orbit.
So I so appreciate that you started by saying it's a horror movie, because in our team Slack this morning, there was a bit of a dust up about, is this a horror movie or is this a comedy?
I would actually argue that it is a horror comedy. It is firmly a horror movie, if you ask me, but there's definitely sort of a camp thing happening here, which adds a little bit of comedy to it. So I would say it's a horror comedy. I think that's fair.
But not a horrible comedy.
No, it's a wonderful comedy, actually.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Megan the doll. So we know she is robotic, she's AI, and she's going to turn. Are there corollaries to Megan in our world right now? Asks the mom of a 9-year-old who gave the kid a robot for Christmas.
I think there are. I'm not a parent, but I have a niece and a nephew, and I think that there are robots out there that if you gave it to them, they would think this is wonderful. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a babysitter, but also a best friend. I mean, I'm old enough to remember My Buddy, which was the robot that we had in the 80s. I guess it was the 80s. And it's sort of like that. But in this case, Megan is AI and can have conversations and walks and runs, which comes in handy when she starts to pick up weapons and go after people who are really sort of bullying Katie. And so there is a sense of this is a robot who can talk and is very expressive, but she's also a protector figure.
So Megan's trailer came out, coincided with National Coming Out Day, and lit up social media. Why that response?
I think one of the reasons was a couple seconds of this strange, awkwardly leggy dance that Megan does to a Taylor Swift song that actually isn't in the movie at all. But I remember watching the trailer and thinking to myself, what is this move that she's doing? And she was gorgeous. She has beautiful big eyes and this middle part, and she's wearing this strange sort of A-line dress. There was something in that move and in the way that Megan expresses herself that caught on, especially with the gay community. There was just something gay about it. And I remember thinking to myself, this is not like any other horror movie that I've seen before. there's something fashion, there's something gay here. And I think it all comes down to those just couple seconds of this weird dance that she does.
All right, I want to dig into there is something gay or queer in the Megan persona. So some of it is perhaps the dance, perhaps some of it is the kind of like stylized, you know, I do feel that this is definitely the Halloween, I mean, it's only January, but somehow we already know, like, all the Halloween costumes on in 9 months are going to be Megan costumes, right?
No doubt.
Just no question about that. But I wonder if there's also something here about, you know, as you point out, like her fierceness, her protectiveness, maybe even the fact that as AI, she's definitely not blood family, but she family.
Right. That's true. It's interesting. I've read interviews with the director and the writer, and they both said that I think to them, one of the reasons that they think queer people might be drawn to Megan is because of this idea of chosen family, and that family can be whoever you want. And I think that's a perfectly fine answer. But to me, I think it goes beyond that. I think there's a gay sensibility to the film in the sense that Megan is this fierce girl who I grew up with. I knew girls like this in high school. They were fabulous and fashiony, and we hung out and we went to concerts and we went to art museums, and they were sort of a little messy but also looked amazing. These are sort of gay best friends, and as a gay man, I've known women like this since I was in high school, and I still know women like this. Megan's the kind of girl that you want to hang out with, and if you look at her cross-eyed, I will fight you. And she would do the same thing for me. I think there's this bond between gay men and straight women, and I'm assuming Megan is straight, that I think is really very evident to any gay man who sees Megan. It's there. We know this girl. We have these girls in our life, and we would do anything to protect them, and as they would for us.
Right. Megan is like, no, girl, no, no. But also, yes, yes.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
We're talking about the film Megan, back with more right after this.
WNYC Studios is supported by Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/WNYC. That's rocketmoney.com/WNYC.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.
Okay, we're back with Eric Piepenberg from the New York Times talking about the film Megan.
You know, I've been very open about my really problematic habit of watching rom-com holiday films, really basically from the day after Halloween until New Year's. Like, I don't really want to talk about it. That's just what happens for 2 months in my household. And that, you know, part of the joy of that over the past 2 or 3 years has been the introduction of queer rom-coms into this genre, right? So playing with all of those tropes. And I'm wondering about queer tropes in the context of horror and maybe particularly horror comedy, especially at a time when it can feel heavy in queer communities, where there's so much attack in terms of legislation and policy and kind of brutal discourse. And nonetheless, here's Megan.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say, strangely, there are a lot of people involved in holiday rom-coms who are also horror movie writers. So I think that's a whole other topic. There's a connection between holiday rom-coms and horror movies.
That so seems right. That, yes, it seems right.
I mean, I am part of that. I love holiday rom-coms and as much as I do horror movies. So there is definitely a crossover there. But to your point, you know, horror has always reflected the world in which we've lived. You go back to Night of the Living Dead and the Civil Rights era. You go to the horrors of the 70s and 80s and war and conservative politics. Horror movies have always held a mirror up to how we are living. And I think for queer people, that mirror has reflected often very negative things. I mean, as I said, I'm Gen X, and I remember growing up during the golden age of slasher films in the 80s when gay people were completely invisible. They just weren't there. Or if they were there, they were clowns. They were often the first people killed. And so I think horror has changed so much since then. And I think things are better now for gay characters in horror movies. I think you couldn't make a homophobic horror movie like you could even just 20 years ago, when in Freddy versus Jason, Kelly Rowland's character called Freddy the F slur. And I remember being in the theater at the time and thinking and hearing people cheering and thinking, wow, I don't feel safe in this theater because of the reaction to hearing that word. And that was 20 years ago. And in the history of cinema, that's not that long ago. And obviously, it still sticks with me. So I think horror has a very complicated history with queerness. Things are better than they were when I was growing up. And I think Megan is an example of a film that there's nothing gay in the story itself, but there's a queer sensibility, and I think that's actually really exciting.
Is there something in Megan that is more than just a one-off? I mean, I suppose the very success of it means that Hollywood will do what it does and try to make things that are like it, but I'm wondering if it tells us something about the future of horror.
There is already a Megan sequel in the works, of course, which I'm actually very excited about. I can't wait to see what she does next. But I think what's interesting in terms of what Megan might mean for other directors, queer or not, I should say that Gerard Johnstone, who directed Megan, is a straight married guy with kids. But I think what Megan can do is I think it can say that it to other directors, you can make a horror film that's queer and still have nothing gay about it, which I think is really exciting. We're at a point where there are so many gay characters in all kinds of movies right now, which is such a departure from what it was when I was growing up. You can turn on Netflix or Hulu or anything else and just see gay character after gay character. But now I think what Megan is going to do, especially in the horror genre, is say, you can be queer and not have anything gay, and I think that's going to be a really exciting path to see what does it mean to be a queer movie with nothing queer in it.
Eric Biebenberg from the New York Times, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me.